So this morning, I started in talking a bit about basics of positive emotion. And I was talking a bit about openness and how all positive emotion is an expression of a basic openness to life. It was interesting coming back from 3 years long retreat in France. Vijay and Marla and I have emerged out of our wooden circus wagons and came back with Lama Tilman, who'd been guiding us. He agreed to take us back to England at the end of our retreat. He was actually going to Germany. He said he'd make a small detour to Cambridge from the middle of France. He was like that. He was very kind. So we kind of travelled back in this kind of little retreat, mini retreat car, you know, and got ferried back to Cambridge. But just getting onto the ferry back to Dover, just looking at people was a very, very strong experience, because we hadn't really engaged, you know, with the outside world hardly over those 3 years. And yeah, for me, looking at people, it was just so much suffering. And also, I was very aware of just how much people were all seemed to be in their own kind of little bubbles, all in their own little sort of self-created worlds. And yeah, that's, yes, in a way, people weren't available. They weren't available to the life around them. They weren't available to the sound of the seagulls and the wake of the ferry, you know, behind the boat. They weren't really kind of taking things in a sense. They weren't there. And it really struck me, you know, after 3 years on retreat. It still does. So all positive emotion is at least a widening out and expanding of our bubbles. And those bubbles are made up of different emotions. There's a basic kind of self-concern, which comes from that underlying mistake that we've made of feeling that here I am, a separate self, and I need to protect myself and on a deep level. But then there's also a lot of fear and anxiety, which sort of drives us inwards. And again, coming back, it was very interesting starting to watch the media. You could see just how much of the news was a kind of a drama. It was sort of made to be a melodrama, and it was sort of playing on anxiety and playing on fear and playing on greed and jealousy. It was, after 3 years not seeing it and having done a lot of meditation, it seemed like it was all completely overdone, like some sort of huge melodrama that was being built up. Which isn't to say that often it wasn't talking about real suffering, but the way in which it was being conveyed seemed designed both to drive you in on yourself, but also to get you really hooked so that you had to keep watching the next exciting episode, even though it wasn't a soap opera, this was the news. So all that made me sort of more aware of that whole mechanism of being driven inwards. And when we're like that, we lose a sense of our common humanity. We lose a sense of being really connected with life. I remember reading recently an account of a woman who went to park her car in a sort of public car park. And it was a pay and display car park. So what you do is you get out your car, you go to the machine, you discover how much you've got to pay for the 3 hours or whatever it is you're going to be there. And then you put that money into the machine, and you take your ticket, and you put it back in the windscreen of your car, and you display your ticket. So she got out of her car, and there was the pen display machine over the other side of the car park, and there was hardly anyone around. But as she started making her way towards the ticket machine, somebody else got out of one of the other cars. And he was obviously an Arabic man. And he started heading towards her. And with all the current feeling about, you know, Islamic terrorists and all that, immediately she felt even more threatened than she might have been just being a solitary woman being approached by a man whom she didn't know in quite an isolated place. So she went right sort of into herself. And this young man came up towards her, and there was nowhere for her to turn, really, so she just had to kind of confront him. And he came up to her, and he said, "Excuse me, I've still got 2 hours left on my parking ticket. Would you like it? It would save you money." And at that point, something completely turned around in her from, "There's this, you know, threatening Islamic person, you know, coming to do who knows what," to, "Oh, here's another generous human being who's considering my needs and is actually helping me." Yeah. So it's like the whole way that she was just kind of dissolved away, and she was back in a world with just other human beings who look after one another and care for one another and, you know, feel for one another and empathize with one another. Yeah, she was back, sort of more available to life. And yes, when Bhante talks about metta, one of the ways in which he talks about it is in terms of us not closing down. There's a quote that I was reading recently of his, which says this: "Metta is love that breaks out of the narrow confines of self-referential selectivity. Love that doesn't have preferences, non-exclusive love. It's a cherishing, protecting, maturing love, which has the same kind of effect on others as the light and heat of the sun have on their physical being." And then he says, "We really can learn to love in this way. We really can learn to love in this way."
Where's that from?
Well, you'd find it in, you know, that big book compilation of Bhante's teaching about meditation. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's in there. On pages 137 to 8. I can't remember what seminar it comes from. Yeah, so we're breaking out of the narrow confines of our bubbles of anxiety, craving, resentment, jealousy, and so on, and opening out into a different kind of world. And metta, as we know, it's not just a nice feeling, it's a volition, it's something active. But in a way, it comes out of an attitude where whatever's going on, one is doing one's best to be open and available to it with a care and a concern, so that you're looking after life, You're looking after whatever's appearing in your field of vision, in your mind, in the body. And when that gets strong, it starts to become a sort of what Bhante calls a cherishing, protecting, maturing love. And that's when it's really strong, it's for ourselves, for other people, but actually it's for everything. It's just an emotional stance which eventually we're aiming to take to all our experience. So it's like with an iPod that you've been given to record an afternoon teaching session, a thought that goes through your mind, a sense of your blocked sinuses from your cold, lights at the back of a shrine room, somebody's bright red, things that they're wearing, just whatever there is there. It's like there's just one attitude to it, and that attitude is just one of care and concern. So you're just supporting life. It's as if there's a kind of nurturing attitude to life. And it sounds funny to talk about that with objects, but actually, even with objects, you know, it's like if you have a favorite cup or something, you know, you sort of treat it with a bit like an old friend. So it's a bit like we're treating the whole of life like an old friend. Yeah. And that's that sort of nurturing attitude, that care, becomes more and more expansive. So that's the sort of direction that we'll be taking at least a few steps in during this coming few days together. So this afternoon, I thought we could do some work in that direction in meditation, and mainly using the breath, because, as I say, today's sort of integration day, so we're going to work with the body, work with the breathing. That way we can build up start moving on to a deeper level, work with our awareness, develop a bit more absorption, but all moving us in the direction of this open availability to life. So I think we'll just go straight into that one. Still pondering the koan of, with 90-something people, how much sort of discussion and questions we can manage. There will be times where we'll have bits of questions. I'm also interested to know what questions you have, so probably at some point we'll just put a box somewhere and you can just put questions in that. So then I get a sense of what's out there. And very often, I've done this before, you get common themes, and then it becomes clear there are certain issues that, you know, really it would be good to address. So might have a go at that. So let's start by just not doing anything. So easy for meditation to become mechanical, to become another thing that we do. So all we have to do is be aware, just be available to our life right this moment. Now again, let's take our awareness down to the ground. We can imagine, we can feel our awareness going down into the earth. From that connection with the earth, that solid, stable base, let the upper body open. Sense of openness in the spine. Now let's spend a little time with the body, with the sensations and feelings. What do we notice? What would appreciate our attention? Being aware of the quality of the attention that we're bringing to the feelings and sensations. Doing our best to allow it to be a kindly, nourishing, supportive attention. patient kindness. That isn't thrown, doesn't change, whether the feelings and sensations are pleasant or painful or neutral. Now let's be particularly aware of the breathing. Maybe it's fast, maybe it's slow. Maybe it's jerky and restless. Maybe it's smooth, long. Still the same patient, kind awareness. What keeps our bubbles, self-concern in place? are the kleshas, a craving, aversion, and ignorance. And we can use the breathing to loosen these, to open out. So let's start by focusing on the out-breath. Focusing on the out-breath works against the craving tendencies of mind. So rather than holding on, holding in, we do what we can to fully let go with each out-breath. With each out-breath, there's a sense of giving, sense of holding nothing back. With each out-breath, there's a sense of connecting. Connecting to the wider life around us. Now, let's just check how our mind is, how we are. If there's any sense of making this happen, and let's just sit for a minute. Let ourselves completely relax, let the mind just rest. If it just feels natural, we can keep going. Now, whether we've been letting the mind rest or following the out-breath, whichever we've been doing, let's pick up the in-breath. Let's focus on the in-breath. Very often when we're living in our bubble, it becomes a self-protective cocoon. Something where we stay and we don't like to be disturbed. We like to live as we want to live. We stay within a small world of our preferences. And we don't notice how it becomes a prison. So we're averse. We're holding off, holding at bay aspects of life. We're not letting life in. So we can work against this aversion with the in-breath. So now with each in-breath, I'd invite you to have a sense of letting life right in. Fully taking things in. Breathing in, fully open to life. even if it's going to disturb us. Taking down the barricades. Now being aware of the whole process. Breathing in. Really receptive, really taking life in. Breathing out. Not holding on. Holding nothing back. Trusting life. Breathing in, letting life be king. Breathing out, letting life be king. now just for a short time. Let's carry on as we have been. But being aware of us all sitting here together, or with our tendencies to create bubbles, to close down, to close in, to shut off, all doing what we can to be available to life, to let it in, and to breathe out, connecting with life, not holding on, not holding back. All breathing together. All part of one practice. All supporting one another. Now, for the last couple of minutes, letting go of any kind of effort, letting the mind rest, letting the body rest, nothing to do. just experience.